You are listening to the Sermons Podcast of First Baptist Church, Mount Washington.
Well, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Actually, just a few verses, verse 43, 44, and 45 of Luke chapter 6. We've been studying together this Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has been speaking about the extraordinary change that God works in those who come to Him by faith and become His disciples. And it really has been an extraordinary work He's been talking about. Instead of being full of themselves, Jesus says His disciples are, verse 20, poor in spirit. Instead of hungering after the things of this world, Jesus' disciples are now hungry for God and the things of God. Verse 21, Jesus has brought such a change in the heart of those who follow Him, according to verse 21, that they now have, His disciples now have a sorrow for their sin, a hatred for their sin. Verse 22, they used to chase after popularity and prestige in this life, but now they are willing to be rejected by all men to be faithful to Christ. And he continues on in the next verses as Jesus talks about how his disciples have been so changed. They've now been given a great love, a love that is not normal kind of love, but a supernatural love to love even their enemies. The harsh, critical, judgmental spirit that perhaps they once had is fading away. They now have, verse 37 and following, a sound judgment that enables them to discern and follow faithful teachers, to examine themselves for the log that might be in their own eyes in order to be fully equipped to be a disciple and to help others. And so Jesus is describing this remarkable change that has happened. If you are a genuine Christian in Christ, these are changes that he has brought about in your life, and he continues to change you in. And notice how Jesus explains this change in our text this morning, beginning in verse 43. He says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Let's have a brief prayer and we'll continue. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the opportunity to sing it, to sing these great gospel truths this morning about your cross, the power of the gospel, of what Jesus did, Lord, to atone for our sins and to save us, Lord. And now we look to his word. We pray that you might speak to us words that we need to hear, that would either convict us, Lord, or affirm our faith, comfort us. And so whatever your will and way is, Lord, we invite you to work in us as we study your word together. I pray that you would use me as your instrument today, that you would increase and I would decrease, and your word would go forth. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the favorite sayings of the late D. James Kennedy was this, that pastor. He would say, "There are three kinds of people in the world, those who can count and those who can't." One of the things that we've noted throughout Jesus' sermon is that he is describing two categories of people. those who are his disciples and those who are not. Those who are genuine Christians and those who are not. There is simply no third way or third category. It's just two categories. In the Beatitudes that I mentioned, beginning in verse 20, Jesus is contrasting those who are under his blessing, blessed are those, versus those who are under his woe, down in verse 24 and following. We heard him a couple weeks ago describe those who are his enemies and those who are his followers. In the passage today, he's describing those who are good trees and those who are bad. There's not a third category. There's no middle ground. You see, you're either, according to Jesus, you're either born again, a disciple of Jesus Christ, or you are still in your flesh, still in your sin, and you're lost. Those are the two categories, he says. And it's absolutely critical to know which category that you're in. And so Jesus has been teaching us what a genuine disciple looks like. This is what he's been putting forth in our text, are these marks, these categories of discipleship. And the one that we come to today is that a genuine disciple of Jesus will bear fruit. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Jesus' disciples, in other words, genuine Christians, bear fruit. Good trees, those who are followers of Christ, bear the marks of a changed life. There's fruit from them. Many of you have perhaps heard this week that Pastor John MacArthur passed away. MacArthur was longtime pastor of Grace Church in Los Angeles, pastored there for over 50 years. And it's been a few decades ago now that he wrote a book that was kind of controversial at that time. It was called The Gospel According to Jesus. You say, what in the world could be controversial about that? It was very controversial because it spawned what was known as the Lordship Salvation controversy. MacArthur at that time was concerned with those who were teaching that a person could embrace Jesus as their Savior without receiving him as their Lord. That a person can possess saving faith in Christ, in other words, and not be any different. They created, the folks that were espousing this had created a third category, if you will, called the carnal Christian. Carnal meaning flesh, right? A person who is saved, they're a Christian, but they're still predominantly in their flesh, sinful. They're really showing no fruit, no good works. And they would argue that we're saved by faith alone, which we agree with. Amen? And they would say, well, since you're saved by faith alone, then all that really matters is that faith. It doesn't matter if there's no fruit that follows that, no change of life. And MacArthur and others contended, and I agree with them, that yes, we are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, but it is not a faith that is alone. It is a faith that is accompanied by fruits. A legitimate, living, saving faith is not a mere profession with one's lips, but it is something that bears fruit in your life. And so I want to say this as plainly as I can, and maybe this is too plain. I don't know, but if you say that you have faith in Jesus, that is that you are a Christian, and yet your faith is not bearing fruit in your life, you do not have saving faith. If there is no fruit, there is no real faith. And such a profession of faith will not save you. And that's not my assessment. That's I believe, what Jesus is saying here is Jesus' assessment. It's the Bible's assessment. It's taught right here in this passage. Jesus is giving this words to us that we would examine ourselves. Again, are we among the blessed or the cursed? Are we among the saved or the lost? Are we a good tree? Are we a bad tree? And Jesus, as he's pressing toward the end of his sermon, which is coming, he wants us to understand that it's not simply enough to hear his words. We must do them. Genuine disciples are known by the fruit of their lives. So let's give some thought to that. Just a couple of points this morning. You all know what that means, right? Doesn't mean that we're going to get out in 10 minutes. Sorry. There's a lot to think about here. Notice that a fruit-bearing disciple is marked by a couple of things, at least I want you to see. First, they're marked by consistency. Consistency. There's a consistency that's there. For no good tree, he says, bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. I mean, it doesn't take, I don't think it would take a degree in horticulture or botany to understand this, right? There's a consistency, a corresponding consistency. If a tree, he says, is bearing bad fruit, then it's not a good tree. And likewise, if it's bearing good fruit, then it's not a bad tree. Trees produce out of what they are. We know them by their fruit. What is visibly produced is tied to what the plant actually is. Jesus goes on, figs, he says, are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Jesus is saying every person here is like a tree or like a plant. And what's coming out of your life, what fruit you're producing, is actually revealing the truth of what's going on in you. It reveals the true condition of your heart. So this is a call to check our own spiritual produce today. Now, it's tempting, I think. In the previous text, it was to check for the log in your own eye, right? Here, it's to check for fruit in your life. What does he mean by fruit? Well, he's speaking here clearly, I think, of both character and your conversation, right? It's your character. It's your conduct. It's how you act. Actions that you produce. It's also your conversation, right? He even says that specifically in verse 45. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. He's talking about your speech. He's talking about your life, how you're living your life, your character. Those things, what's coming out of you, what people see, what they experience from you, reveal the true state of your heart. I was thinking this week, I can't think of how many times people have said this to me. And usually it's in regards to someone who is a Christian, perhaps, a so-called Christian, who's acting very badly in the church. And I can't tell you how many times people have come and said, well, you know, so-and-so, they may have done this or that, but they have a good heart. And I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to say, no, they don't. They don't have a good heart. A bad heart produces bad fruit. When we see bad fruit, we know that it can only come from a bad heart. This is Jesus' point, isn't it? Don't assume that people are any better on the inside than they seem to be on the outside. And the reason that we know this is from our own experience, if we're honest with ourselves, right? Because we're a lot worse on the inside than what people think. Now, J.C. Ryle explains it like this. He says, let it be a settled principle again in our religion that when a man's general conversation is ungodly, that his heart is graceless and unconverted. Let us not give way to the vulgar notion that although men are living wickedly, that they've got good hearts at the bottom of it. Such notions, he writes, are flatly contradictory to our Lord's teaching. Is the general tone of a man's communication carnal, worldly, irreligious, godless, profane? He says, then let us understand what this is, the state of his heart. When a man's tongue is wrong, it is absurd, no less unscriptural, to say that his heart is right. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that doesn't mean that Christians never say anything bad or do anything wrong. Of course, we sometimes do. We all struggle with the sinful flesh, don't we? But the difference is that the Christian is, as we've been seeing, is someone who is sorrow for their sin. They're turning from their sin. They're repenting of their sin. They're fighting their sin. They're dying to their sin. They're acknowledging their sin. But they're not justifying their sin. And they're not making light of their sin. And they're not making trivial kinds of statements like, well, the heart is still, they're not doing that. They're not taking pride in it. They're not embracing it. And furthermore, the Christian is bearing fruit. To put it very plainly, there ought to be some fruit coming out of your life if you say you are a believer. Not perfection. But if we say that we've received Jesus by faith, then we should be at least starting to see some of the fruit of his work in our lives. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in a person to whom salvation has come. Here's what that fruit is. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some sense of that fruit should be coming out of our lives. I would argue it's the other fruit that we've been studying here in the Sermon on the Mount. There should be a poverty of spirit. There should be a hunger for God, a sorrow for sin, a rejection of men, a love for enemies, sound judgment. These things should be showing up in some way in our conversations, in our character, in our conduct. And whenever they do show up, by the way, we know that it doesn't come from us. It comes from him who lives in us, right? Amen? It's not me coming out. That was Jesus. There ought to be some sense of people seeing Jesus coming out of you. And so there will be a consistency. That's what this, I think, is talking about. There will be a consistency between our profession of faith, I'm a believer in Christ, that's wonderful, and the practice of our faith. Oh, I see that you're a believer in Christ. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its fruit. This is tricky, isn't it? There's another story of Jesus in Mark's gospel, I think, that presses this truth home, kind of a warning for us, I think. Mark 11 talks about Jesus was hungry. He sees this fig tree in the distance. It's very leafy. Looks like that's a fig tree. I go over there. He goes over there. In Palestine, by the way, if fig trees had leaves, then they should have figs. That was how that, if it's got leaves, it's got figs on it. And so Jesus goes over to it to get some figs, but when he gets close to it, he sees that it doesn't have any figs. It's just leaves. That the tree was like the hypocrite in verse 42 here, right? It showed some outward signs, perhaps, but it didn't have any fruit. Jesus condemned that tree and it withered and died. It's kind of prophetic for us, a warning for people, a warning for us all. It's one thing to profess Christ. It is quite another thing to possess Christ. And if all you have is a profession of faith and no fruit in your life, it only qualifies you to be a bad tree. Not a disciple. To me, this highlights the second aspect of this fruit, and that is the importance of conversion. Conversion. A genuine disciple bears fruit that is consistent with a conversion of heart. A conversion that Jesus alone can bring. I think we hear it in verse 45. He says the good person out of the good treasure of his what? His heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the, here's again, heart, his mouth speaks. And notice again, there's only two kinds of hearts. Just two. There's not a third one. There's just two. One is bad, the other's good. One's producing bad fruit, the other's producing good fruit. It's a very simple picture Jesus is painting. He's saying that your life can only reflect what's in your heart. A bad heart is unable to produce good fruit. You could say something like, a bad root produces bad fruit. A life that is rooted in sin can only produce sin. A bad heart cannot produce good fruit. And so if you're thinking carefully about this, you realize what Jesus is saying here, that the root of the problem is in the heart, isn't it? It's in the heart. And what's most needed and most critical is that the heart be changed. You got to figure out here, how am I a bad tree? And if I am a bad tree, how can I become a good tree? You don't go from becoming a bad tree to a good tree with just kind of simple behavior modifications. No, you need something very supernatural to happen to you, in you, something that would just change the very nature of who you are as a tree. And so what Jesus is saying here is that men can in no way save themselves. We cannot change our hearts. We cannot change our nature. We are by nature bad trees, and the first and greatest need of my life is a new heart. It is to be made into a new creation. It is to be brought from death to life. It is to be born again. It is to be converted from lost to saved, and only God can do that in Christ. And so what's being described by Jesus here is not just the depravity or the sinfulness of man's heart, but it really is the inability of man to change his own heart. The inability in man to save himself. Matthew's account of Jesus' sermon puts it so plainly. Matthew 7:18, Jesus said, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a disease tree bear good fruit. It cannot do it. It is unable. You are unable to do it. And this happened. How did this happen? It happened a long time ago. It happened in the fall of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that our first parents were very good. They had this glorious ability to worship, love, and serve God, but then they took the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they sinned. And you understand, in that moment, that glorious ability became this terrible inability. Not just for them, but for all of us. We're born sinful, born slaves to sin. We're born with this inability. And the inability does not mean that we can't reason. You're reasonable people. You can reason. It doesn't mean that we don't have the capacity to make decisions. But it does mean that we have a moral inability. When Jesus says the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. The Greek word he uses there is the word thesauros, treasure, thesauros, from which we get our English word thesaurus. It's a thesaurus is a collection of or treasury of human language. You're looking, go there looking for other words to express. And Jesus uses that same term for treasures or storehouse. He says in everybody's heart there's this thesaurus. And really, if you're a good tree or a bad tree, the thesaurus is a storehouse of either goodness or corruption. Righteousness or sin. And so the bad tree, the lost person, all he has is this storehouse of corruption in his heart. That's what he says. It leaves him unable to produce good fruit. Jim Boyce speaks about this inability. He says, in the animal world, there are animals which eat nothing but meat, carnivores. And there are other animals which eat nothing but grass or plants, herbivores. He says, imagine then that we have a lion who is a carnivore, and we place a beautiful bundle of hay or a trough of oats before this lion. He will not eat the hay or the oats. Why? Is it because he's physically unable? No, last I checked, he's got teeth, right? He could eat anything in his mouth. He could eat hay or oats. It's not a problem with chewing or swallowing. Then why doesn't he eat it? Well, he doesn't eat it because it's not in his nature to do so. Moreover, if it were possible to ask the lion, hey, now why don't you eat your oats? He'd say something like, I hate this food. I hate it. I'll have nothing but meat. This is the picture of the bad tree, the unconverted sinner here Jesus is describing. He or she cannot produce good fruit. His sinful heart will not produce it. It is unable to do so. He's a slave to his sinful desires. Let me give you some verses. John 3:3-5, Jesus answered, of course, Nicodemus. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot see it. You cannot enter it. On your own doing, you must be born again, regenerated, he told Nicodemus. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can. John 14:16, Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit, Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world, what's the word? Cannot receive. They cannot receive him because the world neither sees him or knows him. John 15:4, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. You cannot bear fruit apart from Christ. Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, you are getting good. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. 1 Corinthians 2, a couple more. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. An unsaved person, a bad tree, as Jesus says, cannot please God. 1 Corinthians 12:3, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You can say the words, but you can't say them from your heart without the Spirit of God working in you, he says. We cannot. But church, here's the good news this morning. Our inability is no match for the ability of our Savior. Your thesaurus, your storehouse of sin, no matter how big, is no match for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Your diseased, sinful, dead heart, the roots of your life that are corrupt, is no match for the converting power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're here today, in fact, because he's able to make bad trees good trees. Amen. He's able to do this. Lost sinners, saints, the dead to life he brings. This is what he's come to do. Listen to how the Lord describes his work in the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 36. And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. This is the work the Lord does for us. And you say, perhaps, what do I have to do to become a good tree? What do I have to do to get this new heart? Here's even better news. All you have to do is ask him. Ask him. Understand, acknowledge who you are, where you're at, what your need is. Ask him to do this changing work of grace in your life. Acknowledge your badness before him. Acknowledge the fruitlessness of your life. And ask him to give you a new heart. Ask him to change those sinful desires to new affections for him and holiness, and so that you can abide in him and bear much fruit. Listen to what Jesus promised in John 6, 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. If you call on him, he will hear you. He will not cast you out. He promises he will save you. He will give you a new heart, and from that new heart, you will bear fruit for his name. But you have to ask. This is what marks a genuine Christian, isn't it? It's a conversion of heart that leads to this remarkable consistency of life. Not perfection, but consistency. Every religion is focused in some way on this change that needs to happen. But brothers and sisters, we're not changed by following religion. We are changed supernaturally by Jesus. When he takes away the guilt of our sin, he declares us righteous, he creates in us a new heart, he puts his spirit within us. And when someone experiences a change like that, there is inevitably going to be fruit that we can see. I enjoy sitting on my deck on the back of my house and looking into the woods. and the trees, my backyard. And I often think to myself, I'm out there, I have no idea how to identify these trees. Like, I can't tell the difference between a locust tree and an oak tree. I certainly can't tell the difference between a red oak and a white oak and a pin oak and all these. I have no idea. But I do know fruit trees. Because when I look at them and I see apples, I can confidently say, you know what? That's an apple tree. Or when I see oranges, I'm confident, that's an orange tree. Or pears, that's a pear tree. Not because of their leaves or their bark, but because of their fruit. And for the Christian, those who profess to possess Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I would ask you this question. Is it plain for people to see that you're a Christian? They look out at the world, they see leaves and they see bark. Beloved, if you profess to know Christ, they ought to see fruit. Fruit. Are you bearing the fruit of a genuine disciple of Jesus? Lord, impress on these truths on our hearts this morning. Impress on us the need to know you, to know your son Jesus, and to have him to be our Savior and Lord. And then, Lord, impress on us, those of us who would gladly make that profession this morning. Lord, help us to bear fruit in keeping with that profession. Perhaps there's someone here today, maybe, that would think, you know, I made a profession of faith a long time ago or some point in my life, but there's never really been a change. There's never really been fruit. Lord, give them the courage and the conviction to recognize the state that they're in and to call on your name. You will by no means cast them out. Thank you for your faithfulness to hear and your faithfulness to save. We pray you continue your work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Pastor Jason Clark, and if you don't have a church home, I want to personally invite you to First Baptist Mount Washington. We're striving to be word-centered, gospel-focused, and community-minded. Learn more about our church and our meeting times from our website, fbcmw.org.